This, as you know, most of you know, is an epistle or a letter to the church at Colossae. So this is written to his people. This is written to believers. Those who were chosen by God, those who were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are regenerated or made alive, quickened by the Holy Spirit. That's what he says in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, that is, quickened, raised with Christ, dead, buried, and raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. And once again, you can't tell someone who's dead in trespasses and sin, whose heart and mind is dead to the things of God, set on worldly things, to be, Romans 8 says, carnally minded. That is, thinking only of fleshly things. They're dead. You can't tell them to set their affection on things above. But this is written to those who's been given a new heart, new love for things that are higher and nobler, the song said. He says, for you're dead, verse 3. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We looked at that last week. I hope you were blessed as I was. You're dead. You're crucified with Christ and the world to you. You're dead to the applause of the world, dead to the praise of the world, dead to the consuming passions of the world. Dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's talking about the secrecy of it. That is, there's this new creature created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that the world can't see, and we have a hard time seeing it. The secrecy of it. He said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, John wrote, but it doth not yet appear to us or any other what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. The secrecy of you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the security of it, safety of it. Your past is under the blood. Your life is hid, if that is, as something that someone hides for protection in God, with Christ. And verse 4 says, when Christ, our life, shall appear. Christ, our life. Not a part of our life. No. Our life. Someone who says that, God is a big part of my life, I doubt very seriously if they know who God is and who Christ is. Christ, our life. In whom we live and move and have our being. Not only our eternal life, but Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That is to win Christ, be found in Him, to worship Him, to rejoice in Him. Christ, our life. When He shall appear, verse 4, when He shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. With Him in glory. Glorified and to behold His glory. And that's what His people do now. Being prepared, being made meet, the Scripture says, to be partakers with the saints in glory. And that's what we shall do while with Him. Glorify Him. Behold His glory. And that's how you know His people now. That's what they glory in now. Him. In Him. All right, now, verse 4 says, mortify therefore. You see, anytime it says therefore, you go back and see what it's there for. This is continuing something that went before it. Mortify, therefore. You're dead. So mortify, therefore, your members. Read on. Your members which are upon the earth, your body. At fornication, he lists these things that the body, that the flesh is guilty of and beset with. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence or unlawful desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake. And another place he said, don't let anyone fool you, but because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, these things. But he said, for which things saith the wrath of God, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedient. I just quoted it. It was the next verse. So he says, mortify therefore. Mortify therefore. Now this is vital, and it's very difficult to understand, perhaps impossible, and certainly impossible to convey. But this is something that really is more experienced than explained. Mortify therefore. You're dead. You're dead. Now go back to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, that goes in greater depth about this thing of mortification of the members of the flesh. And mortify means kill. That's exactly what it means. This mortality shall put on immortality. It means this death, this dying body. Mortify therefore. Paul says the exact same thing here in Romans 6, verse 8, but in more detail. You have it? Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. Now, if we be dead with Christ. Now, I gave you the illustration last week. The Scriptures gives it, of Noah going into that ark. And when he went into that ark, he's saying, you can have this world. I want to walk with God. The Lord's going to destroy this world. And so he, in effect, was dead to the world, and he to the world. The world was dead to him, and he to the world. And when he went in that ark, everybody thought he was a fool, an absolute fool. And Scripture says, so are God's people, fools, for Christ's sake. The world lives for this world. But we know it's a dying world, full of dead things. Everything and everyone in it is dead and dying, right? The things that are seen, are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. They don't die. Things of God, Christ. And so we, like Noah, when God, by His grace, brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, puts us in Christ, the ark of safety, of salvation. We come to Him by faith. We are in effect saying, the world's a dying place. The Lord's going to destroy it. I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. I want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God. And one day he walked right on into glory, didn't it? So it says, that's what it says there in verse 8. If you be dead with Christ, that's what it means. We believe that we shall also live with Him. Those who die in the faith don't actually die. They go on to be with the Lord, to live with Him, life more abundant. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, verse 9, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. In that He died unto sin once, being made sin for His people. In that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Read on. Next verse. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Verse 4. Says we're buried with Him by baptism, raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so also should we also walk in newness of life. Newness of life. So reckon yourselves dead. Let not sin reign. Don't yield to it. Now, the first thing, go back to the text. No, stay right there. Stay right there a minute. First thing Paul establishes throughout the whole book of Romans. It begins, Paul, a servant of God, sold out to the gospel of God, separated on the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power and so on. And he goes on to talk about men being dead in sin, Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans chapter 3, and Adam all died. Chapter 4, the imputation of righteousness. Chapter 5, dead in sin. And he clearly establishes that life comes through God, a miracle of God's sovereign mercy and grace, through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin is completely by God, by Jesus Christ. Justification in Christ alone, how Christ is our righteousness. His blood paid the penalty of our sin. The Holy Spirit quickens. Crucified with Christ, put to death by the law, the penalty of sins was carried out. He establishes that for just on and on, several chapters, because this is vital. If we do not look to Christ by faith for forgiveness of sin, if we do not look to Christ for everything, and this is what Paul's going to say in Colossians 3, he's all and in all, that then we won't look to him for help with this struggle with sin. We must look to him completely for salvation in order to look to him for mortification. Here's what an old writer named William Romaine once said, and it's very good. Listen carefully. He said, sin must be pardoned in the conscience before it's mortified in the heart and the life. Or else we'll try to fight it with our own strength and flesh. In other words, if we don't see our sin completely put away in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, then we won't be looking to Him completely. And then we'll think there's something we can do to make ourselves right with God. Here, I'll give you an illustration. The rich young ruler, when he came to the Lord, he said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, you know the law. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before thee, and all the law. And the rich young ruler actually said this, all those things have I kept from my youth up. He may have thought he did, but he didn't, because God looks on the heart. He may have thought he was, like Saul of Tarsus, may have thought he was righteous outwardly, but God looks on the heart. And so he thought that he kept all the, what do I lack yet? The first thing we've got to see is we've broken every single law, guilty as charged. That's what the law saith to them that are under the law, guilty. And we come to Christ for forgiveness. And when we come to Christ for forgiveness of sin, we see that forgiveness of sin, the pardon of sin, being made free from sin, is all completely in Jesus Christ. So if he said this to the Galatians, if you begin in the Spirit, are you going to be made perfect by the flesh? In other words, you come to Christ for justification and go to Moses for sanctification? Oh, no. It's all in Him. In a word, what I'm trying to say, and what Brother Romaine was saying, is that without Him, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't fight one temptation. You cannot fight one temptation without Him. Simon Peter is a good example of this, isn't it? He got all puffed up and self-righteous, said, all of these may. The Lord said, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, not me. All of these may, not me. Whew. Peter should have hit his knees and said, oh, Lord, I don't want to deny you. Please have mercy on me. Keep me by your grace. Keep me from denying you. I can't keep myself. If you by your grace keep me, I won't deny you. That's what he should have said. Oh, no, I won't. They may. I won't. Who did? A little maiden came along. Big, tough, bold Peter. One little girl came along. Said, you're one of them. He reverted right back to a cursing sailor. Without Him, we can do nothing. We cannot mortify or put to death one single... That's all we're saying. And we look to Christ for all. We can't resist the least. Now, I go back to Colossians 3. It says in Colossians 3, mortify your member. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. In that sense, your mind, your heart, set on things above, not on things of the earth. Realize that these are dead things, dead and dying things. And why devote your life and your time to dead things? Mm-mm. Mortify your members with the affections and lusts thereof. You know, we're all plagued by sins, aren't we? These things here. We're plagued by all of these things still. That's how you know that there are two men, there are two natures, two persons within you. In fact, there, I was going to have you look at Romans 6 a little more, but for the sake of time, he talks about when before you had pleasure in the things that you don't pursue now, don't like. And you had no pleasure in the things that you find pleasure in now. That is spiritual thing. Because before, there was only one nature. An old man that loved sin and the flesh and the world and had no conflict with it. In fact, lived for it. Dead in, dread and trespass. Dead to God. Dead to the things of God. But God, rich in mercy, quickened you. Made this new creature. Created in the image of Christ. Now there are two people dwelling in the same old body. Paul said in Romans 7, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This body that's dying, that's decaying and dying. This body that feeds on flesh. This body that still struggles with sin. Who shall deliver me? There's the key. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? And all of you who know that chapter, Romans 7, love it because he expresses the feeling of your heart. When he said, the things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that's what I do. He said, I find this law warring in my member. He said, how to do that, I find. How to do that which is right, I find not. I don't know how. So I'm not telling you today how to mortify your member. I wish I could give you a secret. But I found out the secret. And I now no longer have any trouble with it. Why would he be telling us this if we didn't struggle with it? Well, the first thing and the chief thing is look to Christ. That good advice, my pastor of 60 years, I wish he were teaching this. But that's it. Look to Christ. Consider yourselves dead with him. Christ is died to this world, died to sin, but liveth unto God, and we died with him. Died with him. So he says these things in verse 5 that we struggle with. The wrath of God, verse 6, comes on the children of disobedience. In 1 Corinthians 6, go over there real quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, this is what I was trying to quote a while ago. 1 Corinthians 6. You know, they accused the Apostle Paul, who preached sovereign grace, who preached the doctrine of God's sovereign grace, salvation completely, 100% by the grace of God, justification completely, solely in Christ alone. And they accused him of really being antinomian, didn't they? They said, well, let's just sin that grace may abound. He said, God forbid. God forbid. That's what he said in Romans 6. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we? Christ died because of sin. Why would we want to go back to that put our Lord on the cross? And so he defends himself in that respect. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexual, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's very plain, isn't it? The tense there is ers, continual, living in it. Thank God, God forgives idolaters, because covetousness is idolatry. Thank God He forgives sin. All manner of sin shall be forgiven, Scripture. Thank God, because all of us are guilty of all those things, if not in action, in thought. Only by the grace of God we have committed all those things, if we haven't. All right? But this is talking about those who continue to live therein. And that's what he said in another. How shall we that are dead live any longer therein? And God's people are convicted about these things and repent of these things. Turn from them. Such, verse 11, such were some of you. And he said that in Romans 6. And you lived in these things. Lived for them, lived in them, found nothing wrong with it, found everything you wanted in it. Not anymore. Not anymore. You're washed, you're sanctified, set apart, justified. See that? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me. All things are not expedient, profitable. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. See that? That's what he's saying. And go back to Colossians 3. And he says, don't let any man deceive you. But because of these things. And now in our present generation, this present, the Scripture says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. More and more evil and wicked. Like in the days of Noah, when God looked down and it says man's thoughts, the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. The earth had corrupted his way. And the earth was full of violence. And God said it repented him. He'd made man. He said, I'm going to destroy him from the face of the earth. And our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be just such a widespread, openly wicked and vile plague. Scripture says he's delivering us from this present evil world. God doesn't love this world. He's going to destroy this world. That's not the love of God. That's the anger and the wrath of God against sin. And yes, sinners. You can't separate the two. Let no man deceive you. This is a dire warning, isn't it, against these things to his people who have ears to hear. Noah being warned, moved with fear. Lot warned. The Lord being merciful, pulled him out. And the reason our society is like it is, Romans 1 explains it clearly, doesn't it? Because the truth is not, God's word is not being proclaimed, such as these verses, which clearly told us, no, God doesn't save someone in sin. He saves them from it. From it. Oh my. Let no man deceive you. All the more necessary now. The reason These preachers, false preachers have preached such a permissive God, a God who will not punish sin, a God who loves everybody without exception, no matter how wicked and vile they are. God just loves them anyway. Telling everybody God loves you, which is a lie. And so people say, well, what the heck? If he loves me, let's just go on. When I get ready to die, I'll accept him and everything be just all right, won't it? No, sir. So he says, let no man deceive you. Verse 7 of Colossians 3, he said, in the which time you also walked in that. You see that? That's an ongoing thing. A lifestyle. Walked in them when you lived in them. But now, that's not all. Here it is. Verse 8, now put off all these too. Oh my. Anger. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. My. Who can do that? Once more. Without him, you can do nothing. Who can put away anger? Huh? Who can put away wrath? The other day, I'll just confess it. There was something boiling up in me about towards somebody. I was getting so angry with that person. And I thought, oh my, Lord, help me. I don't want to be that way. So who can put off these things? Who can put away these things? No man. Without Him, we can do nothing. So we call upon Him, Lord, help me. Help me. Save me or I perish. Save me from these things. For I perish. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. We're talking about a new creature. Verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The old man, the new man. And we're going to talk about that a little more later on. Put off. Put on. Put off. Put on. You ever been put off by somebody? In other words, you're trying to get a hold of them and they won't answer you. I said this before. That's the bad thing about caller ID. You call somebody and you know they got it. And that ain't answering the phone. You think, well, hopefully they got the phone off. If not, they're putting me off. They don't want to talk to me. Put off the old man. Put on the new. We'll talk a little more about that next Sunday. All right.